turns gold. There's a cold monkey with a heart so bold, tapping on keys like they're made of pure soul. Building dreams out of digits, making websites roll. Oh, Austin Cold Monkey, working all night. SEO wizard making ladies take flight. From the Texas heat to the neon glow, you're the consummate king of the SEO show.
What if I told you that the secret to dominating Google's most advanced AI search algorithms isn't, you know, writing complex code?
Right. It's actually something totally different.
Yeah. It's actually like sponsoring your local Little League team.
Which sounds crazy, but it's true.
It really is. So welcome to this deep dive. Today, we're tearing down the digital illusions of the marketing world, specifically for those of you trying to grow a local business.
Exactly. We've got a really fantastic source today.
We do. We're unpacking this very comprehensive blueprint from Austin Code Monkey. They're an SEO and AI search optimization company based out of the Silicon Hills in Austin, Texas.
And this guide they put together is basically a masterclass on finding top-rated SEO services for small local businesses.
Yeah, and it completely flips the script on what actually drives revenue, because, you know, the internet is just full of these gurus promising page one Google rankings.
Oh, absolutely. The snake oil is everywhere.
Right. But the difference between dominating local search and just getting buried on page three, It really comes down to knowing exactly what questions to ask and which metrics actually matter.
Which is our mission for today's deep dive. We really want to extract the concrete tactics, call out the glaring red flags, and decode these emerging AI strategies from this source material.
Yeah, so you can actually separate the real growth engines from the total scams.
Exactly. So whether you're running a small business yourself, or you're just, you know, really curious about how local digital ecosystems actually work, we're going to break it all down for you.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because before we look at what good SEO actually is, we really need to understand who is doing it.
That is the crucial first step.
Right. And I remember a few years ago, I was helping a friend audit her marketing spend. She runs a local bakery, and she had hired this agency that just promised her the moon.
Let me guess, they had a beautiful website.
Oh, a gorgeous, glossy website. And tons of generic five-star testimonials that just said, like, great job. And for the first 3 months, they'd send over these massive spreadsheets full of acronyms, but the cash register wasn't ringing any faster.
Yeah, that is such a classic trap. And the Austin Code Monkey source completely tears down that illusion.
It really does. I mean, judging an SEO agency by their own website is like judging a contractor by their glossy brochure instead of, you know, looking at the actual houses they've built.
That's a great way to put it, because a glossy website really only proves they hired a good graphic designer.
Right. So how is a regular business owner supposed to decipher an agency's success if they don't speak all the jargon?
Well, this raises an important question, right? Because the guide stresses that you have to demand verifiable case studies. And that means raw, unedited data.
Not just a quote from John in Texas.
Exactly. A generic quote is meaningless. You want to see before and after screenshots of a client's actual map pack position.
Oh, okay. Like where they show up on Google Maps.
Right. You're looking for Google Business Profile insights that show a tangible, sustained increase in actual phone calls and direction requests.
That makes total sense.
If an agency is genuinely moving the needle, they're going to be desperate to show you the hard numbers.
Because those numbers are their actual product.
Precisely. And that ties into a really fascinating metric the text called out.
Oh, the retention rate. Yeah, it felt like the secret weapon for auditing an agency.
Right, something most of them probably pray you never ask about on a discovery call.
Yeah, the client retention rate at the one-year mark. The source notes that a retention rate of 70% or higher, specifically beyond that 1 year, is a massive indicator that an agency actually delivers ROI.
The psychology behind that is just incredibly revealing. Let's break down the typical churn cycle of a bad agency.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So months 1 through 3 are usually the honeymoon phase. The agency is doing technical audits, onboarding, maybe tweaking some tags.
Lots of activity.
Exactly. There's a flurry of activity, so the client feels like things are really happening.
The confusing spreadsheets are flying back and forth.
Right. But then we hit months 4 through 6. The initial flurry settles down, the client looks at their bottom line, and they realize the phone still isn't ringing.
The doubt creeps in.
Yeah. And by month 7, the ROI reckoning arrives. If the agency was just blowing smoke, the client bails.
So high churn before the one-year mark means the agency can't survive that ROI reckoning.
Exactly. But if clients are staying for years, it means the monthly retainer is actively making them more money than it costs.
That totally shifts how you should conduct a discovery call. You don't ask, can you get me to page one? You ask, what percentage of your clients from last year are still paying you today?
And you also have to verify their reputation outside of their own little ecosystem.
Right. The guide mentions checking Clutch, looking at Google reviews, and specifically diving into Reddit's Our Local CO community.
Which is such a brilliant filter. You really cannot fake your way through those specialized anonymous communities.
Because they'll just tear you apart.
Oh, absolutely. It provides unfiltered, often brutally honest feedback. If an agency uses shady tactics, Reddit will expose them instantly.
Okay, I want to touch on those jargon-filled spreadsheets I mentioned earlier, because if I'm a business owner, say I fix plumbing or bake sourdough, I don't speak SEO.
Right, it's a completely different language.
Yeah, and if an agency throws a dense report at me full of acronyms, I'm just going to assume they're doing something incredibly complex. But the source frames that as a massive red flag.
It really is. Burying a client in acronyms is basically a defense mechanism. Yeah. Top-rated agencies do not hide behind jargon.
So what should they be doing instead?
They distill the complexity. They should give you a transparent, maybe 15 to 20-minute monthly report that just contextualizes the data.
Like explaining what actually changed.
Yes. They should say, here's what we did, here's why it matters to your bottom line, and here are the exact actions we're taking next.
It has to be a conversation about business growth.
Exactly. Not a computer science lecture.
Okay, so assuming you've found this unicorn agency, they pass the retention tests, they speak human, they have the case studies.
The holy grail.
Right. Once you get past the sales pitch, what are they actually doing under the hood? The text talks a lot about foundational mechanics, starting with the Google business profile.
Yes, the GBP. It is essentially your primary digital storefront now. It's the foundational signal for everything.
Because when someone searches on Maps or sees that local pack of three businesses on the main page, that's the Google business profile at work.
Exactly. And optimizing it means selecting hyper-specific categories, keeping hours perfectly updated, adding great photos.
And the keyword mapping strategy here really caught my eye. It's not about casting the widest net. Like you try to rank for coffee shop, you're picking a fight with Starbucks.
Which is a fight you will lose.
Every time. So the guide emphasizes using geo modifiers. You target specialty coffee downtown Austin to capture the person with immediate local intent.
Right. And supporting all of that is the technical side. Mobile responsiveness is huge, obviously.
Because everyone is searching on their phone while walking around.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But the absolute bedrock of this technical foundation is something called NAP consistency.
Right. NAP, name, address, phone number.
Yes. It has to be perfectly identical across the entire web.
Okay, wait, let me push back on this for a second, because the text goes into really deep detail about citation building and cleanup.
It does.
Going through Yelp, Apple Maps, random directories, and making sure your address is spelled the exact same way everywhere.
Right.
And coupled with that is review management, where you just reply to customer feedback.
Right.
I have to be honest, that sounds like basic admin work.
I get that.
Like, why on earth should a business pay a premium for a specialized marketing agency to do what is essentially glorified admin work?
Well, on the surface, it totally looks like data entry. But you have to understand why this matters so much to the search engines.
Okay, tell me.
Think of a search engine not as this magical, all-knowing oracle, but as a highly anxious answering machine.
An anxious answering machine. I like that.
Yeah. Its entire business model is built on trust. If Google recommends a business and you drive across town and the place moved 3 months ago.
Or the address was just wrong.
Exactly. You don't blame the business. You blame Google.
Oh, wow. I see. So the algorithm is essentially operating on this fragile confidence score.
Extremely fragile. It's constantly scraping thousands of directories to verify your physical existence.
So if it sees you listed as Main Street Bakery on Google, but Main St. Bakes on Yelp.
And your phone number is different on some random blog.
Right.
When it encounters that conflicting data, its confidence score in your legitimacy just plummets.
It won't take the risk on you?
Never. It will just rank the competitor down the street whose digital data is perfectly uniform.
Okay, that reframes the entire concept for me. Citation cleanup isn't data entry, it's algorithmic risk management.
That's a perfect way to describe it.
You're literally repairing the search engine's confidence in your physical existence. And I guess replying to reviews is feeding it proof that an active human is running the place?
Exactly. It prevents your ranking signals from being diluted.
But getting your NFP consistent just gets you to the starting line, right?
Barely the starting line.
Because Google has gotten so good at this, what happens when you're in a densely packed market, like Austin, which the text uses as its main example?
Where everyone's already doing the basics.
Right. If algorithmic risk management just gets you in the door, how do you actually win the room?
Well, the source details this shift to dense market competition analysis.
Which means zooming in closer than anyone else.
Exactly. Instead of fighting for the biggest keywords, you look for neighborhood-specific terms and hyper-local content gaps that the big guys completely overlook.
You fracture the market into these microscopic segments.
Right. The guide has some brilliant examples of this hyper-local content strategy, like a plumber shouldn't write a generic page about how to fix a leaky pipe.
Because Home Depot already owns that search.
Yes. Instead, they should publish a detailed guide specifically about the unique galvanized plumbing issues found in the older historic homes in, say, one specific zip code.
Or a restaurant highlighting the specific nearby farms where they get their ingredients. It shows this genuine community connection that you just can't fake with generic content.
Absolutely. And this ties directly into how these top agencies handle link building now.
They aren't going after generic web directories anymore?
No, they are hunting for borough-specific link opportunities. Mm. Local news, community sponsorships, neighborhood blogs.
Here's where it gets really interesting to me. If you strip away the screens and all the algorithms, what you just described,
yeah,
sponsoring the local little league, joining the business association, that is basically just old school 1950s community networking.
It really is.
It's the exact same human behavior, just leaving a digital paper trail for a robot to read.
That is the perfect analogy. Links from a local chamber of commerce carry significantly more weight than hundreds of random internet links.
Because Google is trying to digitally map the real world ecosystem.
Exactly. The highest tech solution the algorithm has arrived at is just rewarding businesses that accurately reflect traditional community involvement.
Wow. But because Google is mapping these communities so effectively, the traditional search interface, you know, typing fragments into a box, is kind of becoming obsolete.
It's changing incredibly fast.
The text pivots here into how the very nature of searching is fundamentally changing thanks to new technology.
Right. The frontier is voice search and LLM seeding.
Let's talk about voice search first.
Yeah.
Because queries are becoming so conversational.
The syntax shift is huge. When you sit at a keyboard, you type robotic fragments. Italian restaurant downtown.
But on your phone, you ask a full question. What's the best Italian restaurant open now near me?
Exactly. And if an agency is only optimizing for those choppy text keywords, they'll be invisible to voice assistants.
But the even more groundbreaking shift here is LLM seeding.
Yes. Large language models, AI overviews, Bing chat. These systems are changing the fundamental contract of search.
So are we basically moving from trying to impress a search engine index to trying to train an AI brain?
What's fascinating here is that it represents a total shift from reactive search to proactive recommendation.
Meaning the engine doesn't want to just hand you a list of options anymore.
Right. It wants to synthesize the information and give you the single best answer.
So businesses aren't just trying to rank on a page. They're trying to be the only answer an AI gives a user.
Exactly. And the way agencies execute this LLM seeding mechanically is through structured data or schema markup.
Break that down for us, because it sounds like you're planting a digital flag in a robot's memory, but how does the code actually work?
Think of schema markup as a dedicated translation layer. Say you have a beautiful paragraph on your site explaining your hours and pricing.
A human reads that fine.
But when an AI bot crawls it, it has to expend computational energy to parse the language and further context. Guess what the numbers mean?
And as we establish, algorithms hate guessing.
They despise it. So schema markup takes that human prose and turns it into raw, standardized code that the robot instantly understands.
Oh, so instead of making the AI read a sentence, schema just hands it a data cell that explicitly says, open, 9 a.m.
Yes. It tags your services, your pricing, your reviews. When an AI needs to generate an answer in milliseconds, it pulls from the sources that make their data frictionless.
It's literally like sneaking your business's menu directly into the textbook the AI studies before its final exam.
That is exactly what it is. You're formatting your reality so the machine doesn't have to think, it just retrieves.
But sneaking into an AI's textbook and, you know, repairing algorithmic confidence scores, that doesn't happen overnight.
Definitely not.
So let's bring this back to business reality. For the person listening who might actually be writing the checks to an agency, what are the actual timelines and costs here?
The guide is refreshingly pragmatic about this. True local SEO is an ongoing compounding process.
So you need a monthly retainer?
Yes, usually a 6 to 12 month commitment.
Right.
Project-based work, like a 1 month contract, is only good for a one-time citation cleanup.
You can't build a hyperlocal strategy or seed an LLM in 30 days. And the text notes that the break-even timeline where you actually see organic conversions is typically 60 to 90 days.
That's the standard, yeah.
So what does this all mean for the business owner? If I'm looking at my first monthly report, what's the one metric that tells me I haven't wasted my money, even if I'm not swimming in new customers yet?
You don't look at total traffic in month two. You look at intent metrics. The golden KPI is the ratio of profile views to actual direction and call clicks.
Okay, let's walk through the math on that.
Say in month one, your profile had 100 views, but only 2 people clicked for directions.
Right.
If in month two, you still only have 100 views, but 10 people clicked for directions, that's a massive victory.
Because it proves the optimization of the cleaner data,
yeah.
The targeted keywords is actually successfully capturing high intent prospects.
Exactly. The agency is putting the right message in front of the right person at the exact moment of need.
Which is the whole point. And unlike pay-per-click ads, where the traffic stops the second you stop paying Google, this builds lifetime value.
SEO builds compounding digital equity.
You own the house instead of just renting the billboard.
Exactly.
Well, we have covered an immense amount of ground today, courtesy of this blueprint from Austin CodeMonkey.
We really have.
We started by dismantling the illusion of those glossy agency websites, right? Learning to look for verifiable case studies and that 70% retention rate.
Which proves they can survive the ROI reckoning.
Yes. Then we explored NAP consistency, reframing citation cleanup as algorithmic risk management.
For a very anxious search engine.
Exactly. We zoomed in on hyperlocal strategies, realizing advanced SEO is basically just 1950s community networking with a digital paper trail.
Great way to look at it.
And finally, we looked at the bleeding edge of LLM seeding, where businesses are using schema markup to translate their value for AI.
It's a whole new world.
It is. So whether you are hiring an agency or just trying to understand your own neighborhood's digital landscape, the core lesson here is that local SEO is really about proving real-world legitimacy to digital gatekeepers.
And as those gatekeepers evolve, the strategy has to evolve with them. I actually want to leave you with a final thought to mull over. Building on that AI shift.
Ooh, lay it on us.
Right now, we're optimizing so AI assistants will recommend our businesses to a user. But if these models keep advancing, we might soon reach a point where the AI doesn't just recommend a service, it actively negotiates and books it on our behalf.
Wow.
Yeah. So when the AI is the one doing the actual buying, how will a local business have to market itself not to a human consumer, but to a machine with a budget?
Now, that is a wild, slightly terrifying thought to end on. We started with internet gurus promising easy answers and ended up with machines negotiating with machines.
It's moving fast.
It really is.
Oh.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We will catch you next time.
New from the Austin CodeMonkey Underground Lab, the Austin CodeMonkey AI Review Response Generator. Our SEO chimp got tired of writing review replies, so we built AI. Utilize it for your business because nobody opens their laptop excited to reply to Google, Yelp, Facebook, and TripAdvisor reviews. Visit Austin CodeMonkey for more details at austincodemonkey.com.
Austin CodeMonkey delivers expert web design and SEO services for businesses that want more calls, more leads, and more jobs. Our SEO strategies ensure your online presence keeps growing and bringing in results. For more information, call 737-932-7532 or visit our website at austincodemonkey.com.
Austin CodeMonkey, working all night. SEO is making Lakers take flight. From the Texas heat to the neon glow, you're the cold swinging king of the SEO show.